Recently, we were talking about the Article 5 Constitutional Convention. There is an effort to call a Constitutional Convention of the states in order to get states to pass a federal balanced budget amendment in hopes of holding the federal government more accountable for spending. Some that say this would be one of a variety of issues they'd like to see that force more accountability, states in holding the federal government more accountable. And it was debated in the South Dakota House of Representatives. One of those who voted against it was Representative Stace Nelson. He joins us on the line this morning. Stace, how you doing?
Pretty good, Greg. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to have an opportunity to talk to you again.
Yes, sir, and thank you for having me on.
Glad to do it. Well, listen, I was ragging on you for your vote. As you know, you and I have traded a few, had a little bit of a conversation on Twitter about this. And before we get too much into it, I'll just allow you to explain your view on and why you voted against an Article 5 constitutional convention.
Okay. Well, first off, I want you to understand, I support amending the Constitution for a balanced budget with tax increase provisions. What I've got concerns about is the Article 5 Convention itself. And folks need to understand that this type of way of modifying our Constitution, from my understanding, has never been used. And the traditional way is for the U.S. Congress, both the House of Representatives and the Senate, to approve by a two-thirds supermajority a joint resolution amending the Constitution. And now that's occurred numerous times. And as you know, I'm a conservative, and conservatives believe in sticking to the tried and true methods that we've used in the past. And, you know, the Article 5 Convention should give us all quite a bit of concern, because the possibilities of a runaway convention, regardless of what people say, are a real possibility. And what that would mean is that the delegates could literally have a convention, and the supposed intent is to amend the Constitution with a balanced budget amendment. And instead of doing that, they bring anything from repealing the Second Amendment on down. And, you know, with that at risk of opening up the Constitution, that type of danger, as a conservative, I couldn't support the Article 5 Convention.
I just can't see that happening on a state level, though. I mean, it's one thing to talk about the nonsense that occurs out in Washington, but to have a majority of states that are going to start rescinding rights that are built into the Bill of Rights, I think that's just a really far-fetched argument against having the Article 5 Convention.
Well, Greg, you got to remember, the states that will be comprising these conventions are the same states that have reelected liberal Barack Obama twice now. And I think if we take a look just at that alone, that's proof positive that we should be concerned that these people would be a majority at this convention. And, I mean, look at some of the things that we've passed already. I mean, the Obamacare was passed by our Congress and our president that many of us feel violates the Constitution itself. And if we can't get two-thirds of our Congress to amend our Constitution, how is it that we believe that we can get two-thirds of the states to go in a conservative route of what we want them to do? I don't see that in the current political environment here in the United States.
And I understand your frustration. I think the feeling is that this is a place to start, that there has to be some accountability for the federal government, and that it's not going to come from Washington. I think we all know that. This is not going to come from Washington. It's going to have to come from states trying to assert their control over the federal government. Barring an Article 5 constitutional convention, what do you see as a way back towards some more fiscal responsibility?
Well, and let's address that, Greg. You know, this is not a magic pill that it's being offered up to be. Realize we have balanced budget amendment here in South Dakota, and we've got provisions and protections against tax increases. But realize, Greg, in 2011, when I was first in office, we had a $127 million deficit. And that was created, and I quote our governor, well, I shouldn't quote him, as indicated in the 2011 State of the State address, that deficit had occurred and was built over several years. Now, what that means is that even though South Dakota has a balanced budget amendment, they still did not have a balanced budget. It was operating in the red. It was operating in a deficit. And what happens is you've literally got the fox and the coyote guarding the chicken coop. And if we see it at the local level, that if we have a constitutional amendment and it does not control spending, realize how can we think that simply changing the Constitution is going to have Congress, who's not following the Constitution now, all of a sudden will follow an amendment that we give them.
But see, when every time I hear you say that, and I should mention, is Representative Stace Nelson is on the line with us, and we're talking about an Article 5 Constitutional Convention and Federal Balanced Budget Amendment. Every time I hear you say that, it sounds like you're arguing against the Federal Balanced Budget Amendment. I want to know that, especially when we send folks out to Washington, if that were to come up, that they're going to vote in favor of a federal balanced budget amendment, because at least it's a place to start.
Well, and realize that I support, as we talked about before, I support a balanced budget amendment with tax increase provisions. A balanced budget amendment that does not have that provisions, all that a balanced budget amendment would do would give them a mandate to raise taxes. And I would like to point out, Greg, this last week there was the vote to raise the debt ceiling limit. Realize that debt ceiling there is there to control government spending and government debt. And they passed that just at the request of President Obama without demanding any types of cuts in our government spending. So what we've got to do is we have to hold our elected officials responsible, both in D.C. and here in South Dakota. And that is a tried and proven method. And putting all our hopes on an amendment that doesn't have teeth is not what has worked in the past.
Well, I don't think it's putting all your hopes in that. I think that's an unfair characterizing that unfairly, because this would at least be a start. I don't think anybody believes if states were to pass a federal balanced budget amendment, that hooray, all of our problems are solved. But you got to start taking steps.
Well, and Greg, them steps have to start with holding our elected officials responsible, and that's what we've done in the past. And I'd ask you, Greg, if we pass the balanced budget amendment that was proposed, realize it had no provisions to protect against massive tax increases.
Right. And now talk about, and you touched on that a little bit earlier. And now at least that to me is, I understand where you're coming from, because your fear is as that was written, then it would be a blank check for Congress to raise taxes.
Exactly. It would be a mandate, right? I mean, all they'd have to do is point to it and say, well, here, we have to balance our budget. And one of the ways of balancing the budget is to raise taxes. And realize that's the part of the problem is, our problem here in the country, here in South Dakota, isn't that we have a revenue problem. What we have a problem of is these politicians spending our money and creating more government. And realize having an amendment that does not have tax increase protections gives them a mandate to raise those taxes, which means they get more revenue, which means they can create more government, which means we have more out-of-control spending. So, I mean, you and I we're on the same sheet of music.
I agree, because what you're saying is you would support a federal balanced budget amendment if it's going to mean reductions in spending in order to get there.
That's correct. And I support a balanced budget amendment that has those tax increase protections in there. And realize South Dakota has a balanced budget amendment, but we also have the tax increase protections. We have to have a two-thirds majority in the legislature in order to raise new taxes.
Right.
But again, Greg, I want to point out to you that we also have a constitutional amendment says we have to have two-thirds to approve any new spending. And just like Congress is circumventing our U.S. Constitution, South Dakota legislature and the governor has circumvented our state constitution on numerous times. And I'd point out to you, if you remember the big to-do about the governor's WIMS program, that was where the legislature and the governor took $5 million, your tax dollars, and sent it to Wisconsin. That was tucked into a budget appropriations bill. It was new spending. It was never in as required by our Constitution, it was never in an individual bill, and it never received a two-thirds vote of the legislature. So, again, it's one of those things that the Constitution is our guiding principles. But if we have people that are ignoring the Constitution and doing the ends justify the means to what their goals are, that's where we run into the problems both here in South Dakota and also at the federal government.
Stace, I really appreciate your time. We went long, and thank you so much for coming on and visiting with me about this. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you much, Greg, and I definitely appreciate the conversation and the ability for us to talk about this important issue.
I do, too, and we will talk again. Thanks so much.
Thanks, sir. God bless.
You too. That's Representative Stace Nelson, and we were talking about federal balanced budget amendment there and the Article 5 Constitutional Convention, which the House had voted against last week. It's